You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, July 28th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. No king today. He's taking a royal nap. Good morning, Corey. How you doing?
Yeah, he got his rankings done, so he had to take a couple days off. Shout out to the king. What's going on, Greg?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know what I'm saying? That mock draft we in, right? The Roto Experts PPR mock for the exclusive edge, whatever.
Who's the best package available now? Sussmania.
Sussmania is the promo code.
That's what, 20% off?
I took Ty Gurley. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay, so you're probably happy with that, right?
I mean, I'm not thrilled with it, but it's better than, you know, trying to stave off in that PPR back jumbo. I know Gurley going to get 20 touches.
I'll tell you what, you had... You really called yesterday the Fantasy Football Frenzy. You called exactly what George Kirsch was going to do.
Yes, you sure did.
You said Leonard Fournette in the second, Isaiah Crowell in the third,
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah, now I kind of knew that. I did leave Gurley for Corey,
thank
so
you're
Matt. Welcome. I went with Watkins. It's basically what I have done a lot this season with a Julio Jones or an Odell Beckham, a Doug Baldwin in the second round. I did have a feeling Jake would either take Mixon. I wasn't sure maybe the second, but I definitely thought by that third round he would not be there for me. So I was pretty set with the plan that I was going to go wide receiver heavy.
Yeah, for me, after drafting Le'Veon Bell, I was kind of split on who I wanted to get. Like, I wanted Brandon Cooks, but I liked Demaryius Thomas a little bit more.
Okay.
So I went with DT over Cooks.
You could have got both of them.
I couldn't. Tony took one of them.
Okay.
That was the problem. So Tony took Gronk and then took Brandon Cooks. And then for me, I really didn't know who to take there. I did not like the spot I was in, to be honest with you. I could have went with a second running back, but I already had Le'Veon Bell. I was like, I don't necessarily need an Isaiah Crowell or Todd Gurley at this spot.
So who'd you take?
Took DeAndre Hopkins.
D-Hop. Why'd you take Davante Adams?
Why didn't I? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really have an answer why I didn't take Davante Adams.
Okay.
I was split between DeAndre Hopkins. I wanted Davante Adams. I like Sammy Watkins, but like I know you guys have spoken about before. Sammy Watkins really fits as a better wide receiver 3 than a wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
So when you said that, like, I can't do that. So I was basically between Hopkins and Davante Adams, and I just thought.
Hopkins is, I mean, you got Le'Veon Bell on the team, so you have an advantage already. So Hopkins is not a slouch, you know what I mean? We know what the problem is the quarterback situation, but let's, you know, if we get better quarterback play, you know what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk more about this draft. The entire show is about to make fun of Scott's rankings. It's tough to do that without Scott being here. We'll try our best, so stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on a Friday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
With you on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Modica, you were saying during the break, you'd like to bash someone. So please, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, well, I got to pull that up. I didn't have that
you
ready.
Said, I can't wait to bash this guy. What?
I didn't know we were doing it now. That's my bad. But hold on, let me see if I have it here. Yeah, we'll get back to that. But let's go back to the Roto Experts draft real quick.
Yeah, of course.
See, like for me, I have no problem taking Demaryius Thomas. It's a solid pick there. I just, for me, I might have gone Cooks there and taken that upside. Because I think the floor is going to be pretty good. If you look at the, I know everybody says there's not enough mouths to feed. This is not a volume receiver.
Sure.
And I think his floor is secure where, you know, he's been in top, he's been 7-12 the last two seasons, weeks 1-16. And if this guy hits,
he's going to really hit.
Yeah. And that's the only thing I'm saying. Like, and then maybe, Tony probably would have taken Hopkins in that thing. So I understand that.
Well, yeah. So like I said just a moment ago, for me, my goal in that spot was to get Demaryius Thomas and Brandon Cooks. Those were the two wide receivers I wanted at the spot. I thought there was a better chance he would take Thomas, basically. Like, I didn't think he would take Gronk. Like, I didn't see that coming. So I thought that he would take two wide receivers. I hoped that the one that left standing was the one I wanted. I picked wrong, perhaps. I don't know.
What do you think? I don't have a problem.
No, I don't think you picked wrong. I'm just saying, like, I have them like 12, 13, or 12 and 14. So they're right there.
Yes, they're all similar. It's very interesting because I know you talked yesterday or 2 days ago, Corey, that seven spot, it's just brutal. I mean, it was yesterday. It's just brutal. Man, yes, I get Le'Veon Bell or you get David Johnson. I don't like being over here. I don't like these wide receivers that I get. I don't want to mess with the DeAndre Hopkins of the world.
But you got to do you got to do Adams, right? You got to hope Baldwin. If you want to be safe, you got to get Baldwin.
Correct.
You got Adams is not necessarily safe. He did it
for
1 year.
No, I don't like this area at.
But you got to think, Greg. You're getting 80 receptions from your running back.
Yeah, that helps.
That helps.
That helps for sure.
Well, I'm ready to rip some people. So if you want to just point something out from
now, you're ready to rip.
I'm ready to rip.
Let it go, Matt.
We did this online championship last night. 12 team, 20 rounds. You know, fab. It plays out. And one of the teams, he had the 12th pick. He took Melvin Gordon. No problems there. I mean, I like Amari Cooper here, but I'm taking T.Y. Hilton. I guess if you want to make the argument of the Andrew Luck situation, I mean, Dez Bryant was still on the board. He went with Cooper. I mean, and he took a guy you like in the third. He took Lamar Miller.
They play youth football together, Amari Cooper and T.Y. Hilton.
Yes, wow. They did. Nice. I knew that, actually.
And, I mean, like, the problem that comes with this team is that I'm looking. He's got, like, three tight ends in pretty much the first 10, 11 rounds. Taking Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry, and O.J. Howard. It's like, I don't get it.
Still playing baseball.
Yeah, he went double in rounds 6 and 7. He had to turn. He went Winston and Mariota. I don't think he needed to do that.
That's horrible.
That's silly.
Well, you know. I'm just pointing out how not to draft, pretty much. You know, I'm not averse to getting your quarterback. If you felt Winston was the guy you wanted, I didn't have a problem with that. But I don't think you needed to go with Mariota there. And then pretty much, you know, taking three tight ends in a row. After taking 3 out of 4 picks with tight ends, he doubled up on defenses. It was pretty much everything not to do in fantasy football.
The interesting thing here for me is, like I said, there's a million ways to win a fantasy league. You can draft in any which way. But since we're kind of just piling on a little bit and he's not here to defend himself, it's a perfect time, I guess, to bring it up. As I said, I drafted Demaryius Thomas here in the second round.
Yeah.
So Demaryius Thomas, for you, Matt, you said anywhere between 12 and 14, something like that, in that tier. I know Corey's, I think, around the same spot for you, correct?
Yeah, he's not lower than 15. I know that.
So he's in your top 15.
Yeah.
Do you know where the king has Demaryius Thomas ranked?
Where?
In a PPR league, because you don't play standard, you don't care about it.
No.
In a PPR league, currently, Demaryius Thomas sits at number 23.
It's not 22 wide receivers going to finish better than Demaryius Thomas this year. I don't care who his quarterback is.
I think the king was sipping on gin and juice.
He has Demaryius Thomas sitting at number 23. That is 10 spots lower than the consensus 13 for Demaryius Thomas, which sounds about right, obviously.
Who's one spot ahead of him?
One spot ahead of Demaryius Thomas is Larry Fitzgerald.
Ooh, old man Fitzgerald?
Old man Fitzgerald. Two spots ahead of him are Jarvis Landry. Before that, Golden Tate.
He doesn't like Amari Cooper either.
Amari Cooper sits at 19, right before Golden Tate. He has Keenan Allen ahead of him, DeAndre Hopkins ahead of him, Sammy Watkins ahead of him, Allen Robinson ahead of him.
I wouldn't rank him like that. Everybody's opinion can be different. He's going to speak to the quarterback situation if you was to ask him to defend why he put him at Demaryius Thomas at this spot. But Demaryius Thomas might have the highest floor in all of fantasy.
I agree with that.
It may have the highest floor in all. You know what he's going to get. Now, they got situations they got to work out at the quarterback, but that passing game if they can get some halfway consistent play at quarterback, it's going to be a lot of footballs in the air for that Denver Broncos team. And they're going to, they don't have a tight end to speak of. Their running game is up in the air right now. It's two players in the offense. It's Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders.
I mean, for me, I'm going to take Demaryius Thomas and Amari Cooper over Allen Robinson every time. Those guys will always be off the board for me before. I mean, Robinson's a guy that I was really on a couple of years ago, even last year. I believed he would be able to do it again. I'm not saying he's going to be total crap this year, but I think there's plenty I would take ahead of him.
I agree. I'm with you. Demaryius Thomas, like you said, Corey, the highest floor. I totally, totally agree.
Yeah.
For a wide receiver. Ultimately.
I mean, not naming Antonio Brown.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I'm talking about this crew.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not talking about Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham or something like that. I'm just talking about when you're looking for safety. And one of the reasons that I took Demaryius Thomas over Brandon Cooks is I just feel that, like, I know what his floor is. I think Brandon Cooks is going to explode in New England. I hate the people that are just like, the volume's not going to be there, whatnot. Bill Belichick doesn't trade a first-round pick if he's not going to utilize the guy he gets a first-round pick.
That argument is wrong because this is not a volume receiver. He's never had, I don't think, more than 125 targets, and he still produces for you. I mean, he's got Tom Brady throwing the ball to him. I mean, look at the mounts they had to feed in New Orleans. They do throw to the running back. They do throw to the tight end. They had three receivers there last season. So it's not like he was in an environment where it was just him. So I think people need to...
So
focus on that.
So yesterday, Scotty decided to take two running backs to start off his draft. And he could not believe these two running backs were there, even though we're like, well, why else wouldn't they be there? But he couldn't believe these two running backs were there. And he said at his spot, he had no choice but to take Devontae Freeman and DeMarco Murray. Great start. You get these two.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, these two bell cow running backs. It was who was the wide receiver you were going to get to be your number one? And he got his guy.
Who?
He got Terrell Pryor. To be his guy. And I want him to be here for this.
That's a nasty number one right there.
It's going to have to wait until Monday. But Terrell Pryor is number 13 overall in Scott's PPR rankings.
I have him 16, so I'm not far
behind. So you're not far behind.
I'm not far behind. I'm a believer. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I'm believing in the talent. I'm believing in the offense, too. And look, Jordan Reed will definitely help. But if Jordan Reed misses time, I think his red zone, he is the red zone guy. I think he's going to be a red zone option regardless. And as much as people out there that don't like Kirk Cousins, they say he's overrated. I mean, I don't know. I look at that YPA, adjusted YPA. The thing last year that really hurt them was the inefficiency in the red zone.
Absolutely so. I think Jameson Crowder takes a step forward in that regard as well. And I'm in with you, Corey, on Jameson Crowder. Does it shock you that Terrell Pryor is number 13 in the Kings?
Yeah, that is a little bit too aggressive for my blood. I mean, he has one good season, half of a good season of wide receiver play. He didn't get to 80 catches. I don't even think he got to 5 touchdowns last season. So you look at Terrell Pryor, you know, he improved passing game, better offense that he's coming into. That's a very, very aggressive ranking, and I do not want him as a wide receiver one on any fantasy team.
Well, here would be my argument for Terrell Pryor. Let's look at Terrell
four
Pryor.
4 touchdowns last year total.
Four touchdowns.
Yeah. That 4 touchdowns is the key.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the quarterback play he dealt with. But if you put Terrell Pryor up against Devontae Adams – with the touchdowns is the difference maker. I believe he had more yardage. I mean, it's not like Devontae Adams just blew him out of the... I mean, look, he's playing with Aaron Rodgers. You have such a...
But that counts.
But now he's going to Kirk Cousins, who can get him the ball. I believe that.
But, okay, so if that's what you want to compare, Terrell Pryor, 2 more catches,
mm-hmm.
13 more yards.
But and he was on a one-win team.
Right.
The other guy's got Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
And I'm not this guy. I like Devontae Adams, too. I'm playing contrarian here. I'm giving the other argument. And I think Kirk Cousins can get him the damn ball.
Where's Devontae Adams for you in your rankings?
He's around number 20 for me.
Wow. So he's low. Why is he lower than Terrell Pryor? I guess? Because Aaron Rodgers is still his quarterback.
Because if those touchdowns regress... That's a major. You add Marty Bennett into the mix. Now does Marty Bennett start taking some touchdowns away? I mean, is Jordy Nelson going away? You could make the argument. Maybe Adams goes up and Jordy goes down. That's then you're going against Jordy.
Very, very interesting stuff. We're going to continue diving into some rankings and wide receivers and the like. It's also Sleeper Week here on the Fantasy Sports Network, so we'll get into some of that in the next hour. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, and we'll be back right after this.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Back here with you, Roto Expert in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Manny, you said something very interesting just as we were coming back from break. And that was, gotta tell you, I don't need Scott's team.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm a Terrell Pryor believer. I have Devontae Adams at 17, not 20. But he's got Golden Tate, which to me is a floor of 90 catches. I think he hits 100 this season. Maybe he gets up to 6 touchdowns, you know. But I believe in Pryor. So you have those two guys right there. And he's got those two beast running backs. I mean, DeMarco Murray has been a top 7 running back for the last 4 years. I think Devonta Freeman is just a beast. The guy he owns inside the 20. You know, I keep saying it, the only running back to rush for 1,000 yards each of the last 2 seasons. Catches a ton of passes, still in a very good offense. So I don't hate this team at all. I definitely like it.
You know, I'm just scared off that he doesn't have a number one wide receiver on his team. It's so interesting to me that Scotty Corey, that he goes with Terrell Pryor as his number one wide receiver, because Scott is always the most, he's conservative. He's a conservative drafter. Hey, can we turn Corey's mic on, please? No.
Oh boy.
And he's a conservative drafter, and he has Terrell Pryor ranked 13. He has drafted him now as a number one wide receiver for his team.
That's dangerous.
That's not Scott.
Well, you could say Tate is his number one, too. He's picking on the turn. So, I mean. But look at all the receptions he has from Freeman, from Murray, and then you put Tate as your safety guard there, and you go with the upside.
But it was better players on the board.
You know what? I don't really know who's on the board here. Who would you have taken here, just a for instance? Would you? This MFL.
I will get it up for you, Corey.
Thank you.
So on the, you're looking at wide receivers.
Still didn't walk down the hill yet. I'm tired, bro.
You're looking at wide receivers that are on the board. You have Jarvis Landry.
Okay.
There's nobody else to draft, to be honest with you. I'm looking at it right now. There's nobody else. Because the one name I want to get into in just a second as we get into some of the headlines from.
Terrell Pryor is not going to be at that spot come end of August.
He should be, though.
I think he. Are you sure he won't be?
I mean, I've seen him go. I've seen him go at this spot, but I've also seen him go 20-25. There's going to be somebody at that table
that's going to say, him,
I'm in on him.
Sure.
And going to take that.
Listen, I think ultimately what Scotty did in this draft, drafting these two running backs, drafting these two guys, I don't think he did anything wrong. I really don't. I think he has drafted some of the guys that are the best on the board. The two guys that he drafted, Golden Tate and Terrell Pryor, you can make the argument they are the best two wide receivers on the board. I have no issue with who he chose. I just don't know if I like how it turned out.
I don't have too much of a problem. What I think is a lot of catches on that team. It's good roster construction because you figure if you figure to Matt's thinking that Terrell Pryor is going to be a big touchdown guy, well, that's good because Golden Tate's not going to be a big touchdown guy. Golden Tate's going to get a ton of catches. He'll have probably, 20 or so more catches than Pryor will. And then, Pryor, I don't know, this touchdown thing, probably I still got to see it to believe it, mm-hmm. but Freeman is going to get in the end zone. So the roster can show.
What about Murray? Murray's going to get in the end zone.
Murray's going to get in the end zone. He has a good percentage of the touches that come inside the 20-yard line for the Tennessee Titans. Do happen to go to DeMarco Murray. So I like the way the team is constructed. I just, to me, I'm just like, Terrell Pryor as a two. But the way the roster is constructed, Greg, it's right now, through four rounds, that's a team that can compete in the league.
I'm going to give Scott two thumbs up.
There you go, Scotty. If you're listening, two thumbs up for Matty Modiga. If you were here, you probably wouldn't have done that. speaking of the wide receivers that were still on the board, one of them is Martavis Bryant. And we found out yesterday that Martavis Bryant has been conditionally reinstated, but not fully reinstated by the NFL.
Yeah.
What does this mean? It means he could be at training camp, but he didn't really do anything at training
camp.
That's
the key right there.
He can't practice. He can't play. He can be there, be in the meetings,
yeah,
but he can't do anything.
That's not good for somebody that's been out for like two seasons now. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So now you got a situation where he has to get in practice. I need to see him on the field. I need to see him practicing, getting the chemistry, knocking the rust off, getting back in the playbook, getting out there showing what he can do. We know how dynamic a talent he is, but listen, he needs to be on the field practicing. The dude ain't playing like 2 years. With that being said, it is time to slow down on that ADP. Matter of fact, he is off my board until he is fully reinstated. His ADP needs to drop. He should not be going in the top 25.
He went 27th overall the other night in one of the online championships.
Where'd he go last night?
Last night, I'll pull that up in a second. The other thing he needs to do, and he needs to do it in a hurry, is really start kissing Ben Roethlisberger's ass, because he made some really crazy comments about his quarterback. And
what did he say?
He said that him and Ben hadn't been talking. He needed to have a talk with Ben, because what gotta Ben pull said it up about him last year.
Yeah. He went with the second-to-last pick in the fourth round.
So he did take a little dip.
We took Emmanuel Sanders. I was thinking about Bryant here as well.
I would take Sanders over Bryant right now.
No, I'm happy. We went, just so you know, we had Evans with the first pick. We went a giant Fournette, 2-3. We took Sanders with at 4-10. And we got Edelman at 5-3. I kind of really like that, because I don't think Edelman's going anywhere, even if he gets 15 less targets or so. And Sanders, I think, is, you know, Mr. Underrated in the wide receiver class.
He's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we are doing this here on Martavis Bryant, because I've spoken before how I think he has the ability to really explode, to really, when he was on the field, to be a monster success. And I think that now being able to see that he's not fully reinstated, pull back a little bit and just kind of look at this bigger picture, because this is what could happen to Martavis Bryant. One thing can go wrong and it's all gone.
And also, like, just to throw like a Wall Street kind of thing in there, you're buying at the peak. You're buying at the top. You really 100%. Never want to buy at the extreme top. So, I mean, in the fifth round, I really don't have any issues with you taking somebody like that. You know, if he's falling out there like mid to late fifth, and even in early fifth, I can take a shot on him, as long as you built. Now, if you're taking Sammy Watkins and Keenan Allen, you can't take him in the fifth round. It depends on your roster construction. You build a solid four rounds, he's a guy that I'm okay with saying, let's take a shot.
I would take Jameson Crowder over him.
I don't have a problem with it, but I think if you built four solid rounds of drafting,
yeah,
I don't have a problem taking that home run shot.
Okay.
I'm going, like I said, he's off my board until he's fully reinstated. I'm taking Crowder over him. Maybe even when he is fully reinstated, mm-hmm. I might take Crowder over him. You're buying, like Jake says, you're buying the risk when you take him. When you're taking him now, especially in the fourth round, you're buying the risk.
No, I don't know.
There's no reason to do that.
So I agree. I agree with you. And for me, you don't know when he's going to be reinstated. Like, I have no idea when he's going to be reinstated. I have no idea what Roger Goodell wants.
They might be waiting for a pitch test to come back.
Maybe. I mean, that's possible. But this has been a long time. This is a long
process.
Too long
for him. Yeah, exactly. And he's not fully reinstated. He needs to be practicing. The dude ain't playing like 2 years. If he's not playing, then, you know, you know, it's where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, my other thing too with the NFL is all this stuff needs to be rectified before any training camp opens.
I agree. It's not like right. Ridiculous. It's not fair. The Ezekiel Elliott thing too. It's not right.
To the Cowboys, not fair to Zeke. It's not fair to the Steelers or this guy. Look, either suspend them, whatever you're going to hand down as far as discipline, do it before anybody reports to camp.
The other headlines from yesterday on a busy Thursday, actually, around the NFL.
There was a lot of news yesterday.
There was a good amount of news. I'm sure it gets you in a fantasy football frenzy as well, coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And that was about the other side of things, the good news, right? So even though Martavis Bryant was ruled ineligible for now, Sammy Watkins is. Sammy Watkins opened up training camp. In training camp, which I think is a big step. He is not on the active PUP list, as we've seen guys like Jordan Reed head to.
Oh, Jordan Reed practiced yesterday, right? Not Jordan Reed, Jordan Matthews practiced yesterday.
Jordan Matthews practiced yesterday. Jordan Reed did not practice yesterday. Sammy Watkins opens on the normal roster, healthy. It means he passed his conditioning test. So, Sammy Watkins is ready to go.
Well, to paraphrase,
I've heard this before.
Yeah, well, you're right, Corey. Corey's right. But he did say, I don't want to hear a damn thing about the foot. The foot is fine.
That's what he said. He was saying the same shit last year.
Sure.
So, we'll see. I don't know. For me, he's a guy that can win you leagues.
No, he can. I feel you 100%. By that. He can win you, and he can wreck your season too.
That's very true. You know, there is risk, but there's extreme reward as well.
Yes, there is with Sammy Watkins. Like you've said all along, I do like him as a wide receiver 3 better than I do as a wide receiver 2.
Well, I'll put this thing here. I mean, just look at DeAndre Hopkins, his last two seasons. Mm-hmm. 2015, the first 10 weeks, 135 targets. You know, last season in 16 games, he had 151 targets. He was like the 34th wide receiver between weeks 1 to 16. So he's another risky proposition.
Unless it's based on his quarterback, not on his health.
Okay, and his quarterback right now is Tom Savage, a guy that I know you like Watson, but Watson's got to learn that offense, number one. His, as we've seen in the combine, that arm strength wasn't that great. Can he succeed? I do like
but
Watson.
Hopkins don't have a history of chronic injuries.
I understand that, but he has a history of some bad quarterbacks the last year or so. And going into this year, I mean, unless you're a Tom Savage believer, you have to have some tepidation.
I think you got to bet on the talent. Now, both players are very talented, but give me the guy that I know is going to be healthy. One thing about Hopkins is he's going to be healthy.
He was healthy last year.
Trash last year.
I'm not arguing that. Uh-huh. I'm with you on it, but I mean, where are we valuing Tom? Is he even a top 25 quarterback?
Tom Savage?
Yeah.
Probably not. No. Probably not. No. Maybe is Deshaun Watson going to be a top 25 quarterback?
Probably not this year.
You love Deshaun Watson, you know. Huh? You love Deshaun Watson.
I do, but he got to get on the field first.
Well, they're already talking him up.
My only point here is there still is a lot of risk with Hopkins as well. That's my point.
Yes, there is. There's a total risk with Hopkins, I agree. It's fine, I really want him either. And it's going to be very tough for me to actually draft him when it comes down to the money draft. Take a break. Get over some of the headlines from yesterday as well, including another player that Scott has ranked very, very high, and some good news regarding that player. Stick around. Run away for some more continuing draft for this.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Rotoexperts this morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, Matt, and Greg here with you on a Friday edition of the show. So, Matt, I mentioned before, Scotty had one more trick up his sleeve when it came down to the running backs. And he's been pretty adamant about this throughout the draft process. He loves Christian McCaffrey. He expects big things from Christian McCaffrey. And in his ADP, he has Christian McCaffrey as the number 12 overall running back in PPR. Now, good news came out regarding Christian McCaffrey and his potential ADP. And that was that in day one of Panthers training camp, he was just littered with targets, screen passes, balls out of the backfield. They just kept working and working and working Christian McCaffrey. And there was some thought that he may be a step or two behind, given that he was late to camp previously because Stanford doesn't graduate until late. It's this whole stupid-ass rule. But nevertheless, he's there, and evidently looks pretty good.
Yeah, I don't see how he's not a top 15 back. I don't see how he doesn't catch at least 50 passes. I know some people have done some things where they say, you know, Cam is not a good short passer, hasn't excelled in that. Look, Cam is a freak athlete, and if he works on this in the preseason, especially coming off of the shoulder surgery, maybe it's better Cam is throwing shorter passes. You look at the wide receivers, I'm not a fan of Benjamin or Funchess. You know, Greg Olsen is Greg Olsen. He plays every game. He's there for Cam when Cam needs that guy. But I like what they're doing here. They got McCaffrey. They went and then they got Samuel. So they are involving this offense. I'm not saying there's Jonathan Stewart still in the mix. Jonathan Stewart always gets hurt too. Let's be real here. Let's look at Jonathan Stewart's career. So I don't have a problem taking McCaffrey. I don't have a problem where Scott has him ranked. I think he's anywhere. You know, you want to go, if you want to go as high as 12, if you believe that much. But I don't think you could really put him, for me, past 15.
You know, I look at Christian McCaffrey, and I just have a lot of questions. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. I want to know how Carolina's going to use him, okay? So they talk about peppering him with targets yesterday, and I assume that that's going to continue, that he's going to be targeted a ton. How much is he going to run the football with Jonathan Stewart there? How many touchdowns is he going to be able to score with Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton there? I think these are questions we're not going to have the answers to, really to week one, to be honest. And I want to know how involved he's going to be. I want to know how this offense is going to be, because I don't know. Cam is healthy. He has said, listen, they want to scale back my running, but you can't take the cape off Superman, is basically what he said. I don't know how to react to that. I don't know what Mike Shula has up his sleeve.
You know, I think you're making all valid points, but look, the draft capital that was spent on this player, the combine he had and all these clones, look, this guy can run inside.
Absolutely.
People got to understand
absolutely
that.
Agree with that.
You know, I see things like on Twitter, somebody the other day tweeted about Ty Montgomery and Ezekiel Elliott put their size and weight and stuff, and I retweeted it, and then somebody was like, that was the dumbest tweet of the day, congratulations. No, it's the fact that perception. People think that Ty Montgomery was a wide receiver, and he's this skinny little dude, like playing, you know. He's a big guy. McCaffrey can do everything. He's going to be there. Jonathan Stewart's a guy that I have no problem taking later on in drafts, but it's not going to stop me from taking McCaffrey in that anywhere late third, fourth round. I'm in on him, especially in the PPR format.
You know, it's interesting. I want to go over the guys that Scotty has directly under Christian McCaffrey. Because, to be honest with you, we talked a lot about this yesterday. And that's that these guys from 4 to 9 are all interchangeable in however you feel. And I don't want to make the argument with him, especially not that he's not here. It's not worth it to me. Because after that, I always found, and I've told you this, Matt, to me, it was always Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, and for me, it was Lamar Miller. I know I'm the high guy in Lamar Miller, and it's fine. He's got Leonard Fournette at 10. It's Gurley after Christian McCaffrey. It's one spot, so you can't, like, crush it, but that's really interesting to me, because I know, like, Gurley's role is defined. Like, I know what I'm getting in Todd Gurley, so that's very interesting to me. Dalvin Cook, number 14, right one spot ahead of Joe Mixon. For me, I like Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon both more than I like Christian McCaffrey.
You can make the argument. For me, Joe Mixon is probably I'd rather have Mixon than Gurley. I'm scared of Gurley. I have one share of Gurley. I have him in a league where I have Le'Veon Bell, so I know I'm getting the receptions there. I mean, can Gurley bounce back this season? Absolutely.
Yep.
He's a, you know, real, supreme talent and stuff. But I don't have a problem if somebody wants to go. I think Joe Mixon at some point might even usurp Gurley in ADP.
Okay.
And Cook, it's more preference. For me, heading into the combine, heading into the draft, I thought Cook was going to be the guy that was going to Carolina.
Yep.
Everything seemed, that way the offense was set up,
yep,
coming from Florida State, it just seemed like the perfect fit. So, these, like I said, after you get through picks 1 through 7, I think it becomes more of a personal preference.
Like I said to you, I think it's after you pick through 1 for 3. It goes personal preference. Like, I know it's kind of developed that LeSean McCoy is next. I don't have it that way personally. I have Devontae Freeman next. And that's why I think you can make the argument either way. Like, I have Devontae Freeman 4, and then I have LeSean McCoy 5. That's me. But I understand if people are the other way. That's why, to me, it's 4 to 9. You can put it any way, and I'm not going to have a major argument with you.
Yeah, I mean, as far as his running back ranks are for, like, the top, you know, 18 guys, I'm pretty much there with Scott. You know, maybe I have a couple guys higher, a little lower, but I mean, nothing egregious here. Eddie Lacy at 20.
Well, this is what surprises
me. That's what's going to get me. I'm not going to take Eddie Lacy. He's not the 20th back of the board.
Well, this is just what surprises me about some of Scott's stuff. Like, he has crushed Marshawn Lynch with the two of us, and then the very anti-Marshawn Lynch guys at the stable. He got Marshawn Lynch 16. Like he's got Marshawn Lynch over Lamar Miller, which I'm never going to do, and I know that. He's got him over Ty Montgomery, which, again, I'm not going to do. And he has said, I thought, that he liked Eddie Lacy more than Lynch. The rankings don't reflect that. Maybe it was based on their ADP. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I know he hates that, so I'm not going to do it. But he's got Eddie Lacy 20 overall, and you have said that's too high for you. Which guys after Eddie Lacy do you think is making a major error here in Scotty's rankings?
Well, I'm still going to take Mark Ingram based on Mark Ingram's talent and that offense that he plays in. And it's always a crowded backfield that Ingram's always played in. But Bilal Powell in a PPR, I want over him. I want Theo Reddick over him. I want Danny Woodhead over him. I'm even going to take Kareem Hunt over him. I'm proud of Scott. He's got him 24. I mean, even C.J. Anderson, I'm going to take over Eddie Lacy. C.J. Anderson right now, that backfield's his. I mean, are we worried about Jamaal Charles? I'm really not. Maybe he makes the team now, but I don't think he's healthy enough to sustain playing football anymore, which is a shame. As a fan of the NFL, I'd rather take the shot on Mike Gillisley over Eddie Lacy. Let's see here. I'm trying to see. I mean, those are probably the major guys that even Carlos Hyde, I'm going to take over Eddie Lacy. So I'm finding a few guys there.
I love Carlos Hyde. I don't know if I can do that.
Well, look, we heard that he's possibly getting cut. I think this is all nonsense. You know, some sites didn't even publish that, and kudos to them.
I don't know about kudos. Are you giving me a fake news thing? Is that what that's?
I just think it's getting a little. And then what? They were praising him yesterday.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. So my man Carlos Hyde, after Greg Rosenthal, formerly of Roto World, now from around the NFL, he had said that he had heard whispers that it wouldn't surprise him if Carlos Hyde was cut. Now, nobody really disputed this at the time it was reported. Yet, yesterday, it was John Lynch that came out and basically was like, Carlos Hyde looks amazing. I'm trying to find the exact quote. Carlos Hyde looks amazing. Here we go. He weighed in at 228 pounds. This is from Roto World. Quote, Carlos Hyde looks tremendous. He's really dedicated himself. There's your quote.
Look, Carlos Hyde is a good player. It's all been about staying on the field. They're saying he's having a hard time picking up this offense. I think it is a little bit of a difficult offense. The Atlanta Falcons, you know, struggled with his offense that first season. Even look, I don't think he's ever getting cut. Maybe he gets traded. If I don't think that's going to happen right now. But look, Carlos Hyde is going to be on a team running the ball. If he's healthy, health is really the only concern with me. So I'm in on Carlos Hyde. I think in the 7th round, even if you're unsure of his status today, he is a great value. I will take him.
Carlos Hyde, we will see if he winds up being this bell cow running back as I expect him to be.
What do you think of this that happened last night in my draft? With the 4th pick in the 6th round, Samaje Perine was selected.
You know, I've been the low guy at the table on Samaje Perine. You know, so the only reason I'm hesitant on that is because last year it was Jakey that banged the table for Jordan Howard over Jeremy Langford. I'm just like, listen, you can yank all this Jordan Howard crap, but like Jeremy Langford's the starter, and Jordan Howard has to get past Jeremy Langford, and they did immediately. So I'm basically sitting here ready to do the same thing with Rob Kelly. Rob Kelly's a starter. He's going to score the touchdowns. Rob Kelly's going to do this. And then the same thing probably will happen with Sam Perine. The same thing will probably happen with Kareem Hunt and with Spencer Ware as well. I don't want to be caught in the dust again. So, with that being said, with the fourth pick of the fifth round, it's very early.
Sixth, but that's still a lot early.
It's still very
maybe
early.
End of eight, you want to be aggressive.
It's still very early, but would it shock me if it turns out good? No.
You know, like we're going to see some changes happen in these next couple of weeks.
We absolutely are.
And once games go live and you see somebody make a run and people just freak out.
I told you, I've told this story before. Last year, Jake was in town for the flex drafts and he came over and we watched the first Giants preseason game together and they faced the Lions. And Theo Riddick had to like run up the side, like caught a screen pass, run up the sideline. I was like, I am drafting that guy. And I did. When we come back, we talk more football with you. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Good morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hanging out with you on a Friday edition. Watch out.
Yeah, Friday. Hey, Matt, would you put McCaffrey as an RB2 in the Super?
Yeah, I don't see how he doesn't catch at least 50 passes. I just don't see it. He's gonna, and I get the Jonathan Stewart thing. This guy can run on the inside as well. Jonathan Stewart never plays a full season. That's another thing you have to consider. I know he's there, and I've been the one preaching Cam is going to run, and Cam sees that pylon. But I think this guy is, like with the other backs that I like, maybe not to the extent of a Leonard Fournette, where I know he's getting, say, all those carries. But the offense is going to be pretty much centered. We see this with the draft picks of Samuel in the second round. It's evolving. I'm not a fan of that wide receiver core. So McCaffrey, somebody I do like. This is a talented kid. I liked Cook over him prior to the combine. And like I mentioned in the last segment, I thought he was going to the Panthers. I thought it just made too much sense. He was set up perfect coming from the offense of Florida State.
The Carlos Hyde love we spoke about a moment ago, I'm obviously hoping that's real. The Sammy Watkins love that we read, I know, Matt, you're hoping it's real. And Christian McCaffrey over there for Scotty. We'll see if it works out. My question to you, Corey, is the Devontae Parker love that we are once again reading for the third consecutive summer, is that real?
Is Ryan Tannehill is real? Put it like that. So I'm not fooling with it. If he's on my team, he's on my team as a bench player. I've been down this road his rookie season, right? I even dipped my feet into it last year. I'm not fooling around with it this year. It has to come as extreme value, and I don't see where he's coming at extreme value right now. I'll take Cam Meredith over
BFFs yesterday. Yeah. It was Cam Meredith versus Devontae Parker.
I would take Cam Meredith over Devontae Parker every day, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, the problem with me for Devontae Parker is the price. If I could, I want to get him later. But if you look yesterday, I forget who posted it on Twitter, we look at the end zone targets. Jarvis Landry won.
Jarvis,
thank you. Where the hell I was. But Parker had 10.
Yeah.
Parker is going to be, I mean, Kenny Stills had 6, which I find amazing. But, I mean, Parker is their end zone guy, and he should be. And if I could get him a little later, I'd love it.
Yeah, you know, Listen, Corey, I totally get what you're saying. When it comes to Ryan Tannehill, like, it's just not someone you ever want to trust to be in charge of your wide receiver two, let's say, right? Like, you just never want that.
The Matt Moore militia.
I'm down with it.
But I remember it so vividly last year in Dolphins games that I watched. And if you remember, I watched very few of the Dolphins games.
I don't blame you.
They're boring. But Devontae Parker, they look for this guy in the red zone incessantly. They just do. That is their guy there. There is something.
How many
here.
Of those did he convert on?
Let me look.
See, that's the thing about it. You can look for him, but how many is he converting on? Does he have the talent to get it done? Hey, does the quarterback have the touch to get him the football?
Listen,
can he stay on the field consistently enough?
Adam Gase is somebody that has not pulled punches when it comes to Devontae Parker. Called him out of shape. Says he's got to get his ass on the field. Got to get help.
Now they're talking about him like he's JC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. he's got to play through being hurt.
JC,
know the difference between being hurt and injured. All that nonsense. Yeah. And he comes in and all they're doing is nonstop praise. Last year, the final numbers for Parker, 56 receptions, 744.
That's not going to get it.
And four.
That's not going to get it. That's not going to get it.
He, yeah, there you go.
He's not going to get it. That's a tight end. That's a tight end.
He had 2 100-yard games.
Late in the season, right?
No, one was his first game, which was on week two, and then one was somewhere in the middle of the year against San Diego.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the season, 3 for 34 and a touchdown,
he's
2 for 14, 1 for 17.
He's a tight end. That's what he is right now. He's a tight end.
Okay, fair enough. When we return, we'll turn on the cameras and we'll go live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're going to talk hashtag Sleeper Week. But when it comes to auctions, that's coming your way here in hour number two. The Road Rex is the morning. Rolling right along. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning starts now.
It is Friday, July 28th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. King is out today. He finished his rankings. We need a roll now.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. You got
to
be better than that.
He did his rankings, and then he had to go home and go to sleep. Got my rankings done. Let me call Mike. I'll stay home tomorrow morning, but I'll be in here to do NASCAR.
So, Corey, before we hit the break a moment ago, you said when I brought up Devontae Parker and all the hype around him, you said he's a tight end.
He's a tight end.
What do you mean by that?
He puts up, he's a wide receiver, but he's putting up tight end numbers. You feel what I'm saying? That 56 catch, 4 touchdown, that's like a tight end right there. I don't want my receivers to have my fantasy receivers, especially if they're in my starting lineup. I don't want them to have numbers that a la a tight end. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay, so if that's the case, what is like the scale where we should actually be drafting?
70 receptions.
70 receptions.
70 receptions. You want 70 receptions in your starting lineup.
You want 70 receptions in your starting lineup for each wide receiver, right? Is that what you're saying? That's what you're saying.
70 reception upside.
Okay, so if that's the case, what do you want from your tight end? Are you looking for 70 receptions from your tight end as well?
No, I would love to get 70 receptions from my tight end. That's when you hit pay dirt right there. But those Devontae Parker numbers, if I can get that from my tight end, then I'm in that streaming thing, whatever. If I get Graham, I you know what I'm saying? I'm going to want some more receptions from Graham, but I'm looking for more touchdowns and stability that every week he's going to give me an advantage over the person I'm going against.
Matt, when you're in a league that has a multiple flex positions, let's say, will you ever – for example, that's a flex that counts everything, not the quarterback.
I'm glad you're going to ask this question.
Would you draft 2 tight ends?
We're talking super flex here?
Not super flex.
Okay, not a super flex. That's right.
You have your tight end. Would you draft another tight end to start?
That's going to be tough. If somebody has to fall, there has to be, like Corey says, I'm going to have a hard time putting 2 tight ends in there. I mean, maybe there's somebody later on that I like that I could stream, you know, in that situation on bye weeks and stuff, but I don't see it as something I'd be really targeting to do.
Corey?
No.
Just straight up.
Yeah, it's so tough. I mean, how are you gonna?
They're too inconsistent. The play, the tight end play is too inconsistent. So you're starting two tight ends.
You're paying up.
Yeah, you're starting two tight ends. You got two guys in your lineup that could very well, you know what I'm saying, give you 9 points in the PPR. You want a little bit more upside. Two tight ends in a starting lineup is very risky. Because even if, okay, back in the day when Gronk and Graham were the thing at tight end, right, I can see it then. But it's nobody like that now.
No, because even though Gronk's still Gronk, he's still Gronk, which means he's still hurt on a very regular basis and unreliable. So I agree with you. I don't like the two tight end strategy either. When we come back, I want to continue this strategy conversation. And it is sleeper week here at Roto Experts, so I want to get into auction sleepers and how we handle that. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Hashtag Sleeper Week. We've been doing it all week long. Roto Experts in the Morning, and of course on rotoexperts.com. Use the hashtag Sleeper Week and make sure you purchase the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, which is available right now at rotoexperts.com. You get 20% off when you use the promo code SUSMANIA when you check out. rotoexperts.com/bigdeal, promo code SUSMANIA. We will give you 20% off. Hey, by the way, so I just got a tweet just from someone listening, and they're talking about tight end strategy, the two tight ends. He said, quote, "Just because I think a two tight end strategy, getting a guy like Ebron and Marty Bennett and some of the others, isn't that crazy when you pair it with a guy like Gronk."
Why would you want three tight ends?
No, like Ebron or Bennett as a second tight end with Gronk.
And how many weeks are they going to be in the lineup together?
That I don't know.
There you go. Because Rob Gronkowski going to miss 5 games.
Probably.
So then you'll have one tight end.
Yeah, it's not an optimal strategy. Look, if you're doing like FFPC, yeah, where you know the tight end is a point and a half, right.
But it's too much. It's too much. Zeke. It's too much risk involved because from week to week, you don't know how much the tight end is going to be involved in the game plan.
Tight end versus that receiver, I'm pretty much
always taking the receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's unless you just totally like punted receiver and you got like a bunch of guys that really haven't proven themselves. It's not a situation you want to be in my opinion, especially in a multi-flex position. You want to have a running back and a wide receiver in those spots.
We talked about sleepers all week long, and I want to kind of sum it up from an auction perspective.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we had mentioned what qualifies, and on every show, I know you guys did it on The Frenzy, we've done it here, we also did it on the BFFs, and we wanted to define what a sleeper was and where you should take them and what quantifies and qualifies that player as. I think we did a nice job doing that and describing, okay, if we're just talking about undervalued players, it's where we are taking a player relative to what we believe his value will be. It was more of an undervalued player thing than a quote-unquote sleeper thing. In an auction, I think everything changes.
Yeah.
Because some of the players that we named, Zay Jones comes to mind, for instance. Some of the running backs, Chris Thompson, let's say, who could be undervalued in a PPR.
But see, those are like dollar Mickey. Those are dollar buys anyway. So in auction, you got to find the undervalued player as far as price goes. And two of them jump right out at me immediately. Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, definitely.
Emmanuel Sanders is an undervalued. Matt, I don't have no auction data on me right now. I know you did one last Friday night. You can get Emmanuel Sanders probably, I'm going to guess, in that $14 to $17 range.
I bet less.
Even less is even better. Then that makes him a tremendous value. You get Manuel Sanders in that $14 to $17 range, he's going to bring you back $22 to $25 worth of production right there. He's excellent. Another player in the auction, Tevin Coleman. You probably can get Tevin Coleman in that $9 to $12 range. He's going to bring you back $17 to $18 at the running back.
Well, people want the sexy player, number one. You know,
so they're going to pay up for it.
Guys that aren't sexy, kind of like, you know, people, I don't have to pay for him or something like that. I mean, Edelman's another guy for me that...
Hey, you're right, Edelman. I'm not buying him, sexy, but yeah.
But, you know, he went for $17 in this one. This is a little different because it's a DC auction. I mean, a
draft champion.
Auction draft champion. So it's a little skewed.
What was Sanders at, that, man? You see that right quick? Because Emmanuel Sanders is going to get a lot of work. And you can buy him as a wide receiver.
Well, Emmanuel Sanders went for $26.
He went for $26. Wow. Well, that's a smart bunch then. Wow, $26.
Yeah. He went for $26.
All right, so people own him.
But I think you're right. I think when it comes to an auction, the quote-unquote sleeper isn't the best deal.
Yeah.
And I think there's two conversations to have here. It's one, how do you guarantee yourself you get the sleeper? In a snake draft, okay, I could draft the guy a round or two early, and that's how I guarantee them. In an auction, if I nominate him, everybody has a chance at him. Everybody's going to see them. And I'm nervous I then don't necessarily get my guy, because now everybody wants the sleeper. Everybody's gonna know about him.
Well, what do you think about this price here? Let me throw one more price at Davante Adams, $24.
That's excellent. He went for cheaper than Emmanuel Sanders. That's
a great deal.
There you go.
So that's the other thing, right? That is taking advantage of what you're saying of the best deal. Davante Adams, $24. And do you know when he was nominated? Do you know how early your lady was nominated or now?
No, I don't.
Okay.
See, that's a big part of it.
Because that's a big part of it, right? Because if he was...
I don't think he was one of the last guys.
But I agree. And this is literally what I always say, and I wrote about in Benny Ricciardi's Guide to Fantasy Football, which will be out Monday, by the way.
Shout out to Benny.
Ding that. The best deals for an auction very, very likely come early. And Davante Adams, in that tier, we talked about DeAndre Hopkins earlier, we talked about Demaryius Thomas earlier, Sammy Watkins earlier. Davante Adams is in that tier. And I know you don't love him, Matt. He's 17 in your rankings.
Well, but I don't think 17 is an indictment. I mean, that's still...
Well, but you have him kind of lower on that tier, is all I'm saying.
I think putting him in the top 12 is just, to me, jumping the gun a little.
And that's fine. But when he's in that tier... and he probably went off the board early, people are going to sit at that table, and they're going to say, you know what, DeAndre Hopkins is still there, Demaryius Thomas is still there, and that's how you get Davante Adams at 24.
Well, who are you drafting, Davante Adams or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm going to take Adams over Hopkins right now. The quarterback's thing is just too, it's just, I can't fool it.
I know you're a Hopkins guy.
I love Hopkins. So. You put Hopkins on the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking them over Jordy Nelson.
and I think that's fair. Okay, so that's where the deals are found. Early and often, I truly believe.
Frank Stanfield, best friends, fantasy
football best friends forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, his rankings are called your best friends rankings.
Sure.
He has Jordy Nelson at 4, I think, at wide receiver.
He does. That's
I think that's crazy.
I think Jake Seeley
has him there.
Your boy Jake Seeley
at 4 too.
The all-in kid. One of the most accurate rankers in the business.
The accuracy expert.
I think it's actually George. Isn't that George Kurtz's nickname?
No, George Kurtz is the answer expert.
I got
confused. The blue line
expert. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Seeley has him.
I know he does for sure. I've talked to him about it.
Interesting. It's high.
The guy,
I mean, deserves it.
But two out of the last 3 years, he's been top three wide receiver. I mean, I'm just making arguments. He scores, you know, a dozen touchdowns at least every year. So, I get that.
I like it. I got him at 7. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, because you're probably not going to get Jordy Nelson then.
Probably not.
Well, he went ahead of Mike Evans last night in my draft. That's how I was able to get Mike Evans at 10.
That's kind of crazy. I can't endorse that. And I like Jordy Nelson too. I have him. What do I have? I have him at 5 or 6. Now let's get back to the regular sleeper conversation, okay? Because in an auction, you're talking about a sleeper, and this isn't a sleeper. This is a guy that people just want, like a Willie Snead type, right? I know George Kurtz chose Willie Snead as his sleeper in the package, RotoExperts.com. But Willie Snead's a guy that people want. At this table, we all kind of like Willie Snead. And you read the headline yesterday, Willie Snead's working on being a better deep threat. He's trying to complement his full game. So you have Willie Snead, a guy we're all going to want. Is he, Matt, somebody that, if I nominate Willie Snead, that he's just going to skyrocket his price?
I mean, I don't know if it's going to skyrocket, but I will use a word to describe Willie Snead's 2017 season. I think it's called outperform. He's going to outperform expectations. I really like him.
But the expectations are getting real high now.
I'm not going to be paying an early fourth round for him. If somebody wants to do that, you know what? Fine. But if he's there in the fifth round, I'm a big fan. I think, you know, they do the 3 wide receiver sets, one of the most in the league. Maybe the Giants might have surpassed them, but they're like 76% at least. You put him in the slot and stuff. This is a lot to his game that I like. And another thing, back-to-back season, 68, 69% catch percentage. You can't underrate that.
You can't, and I get it. I'm just worried that your word is outperform. In an auction, this is what we're getting back to.
I'm stopping at 25.
So you're stopping.
That's it.
Okay. I'm going to see where he...
I'm stopping at 25.
So there you go.
Because I'm not going to pay that extraordinary price for him because I'm not ready to jump all the way in on him like that yet. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm not going to...
Okay, how about this? You wonder what he went... In this auction, he went for $16.
That's...
Jameson Crowder went for $19.
He goes for $16. Crowder went for $19. And Emmanuel Sanders goes for $26. So that's... like flipped in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. I'm not.
Well, but I think most people have Sanders in rankings ahead of Snead.
According to Fantasy,
probably not.
I'll show you the consensus.
According to Fantasy Pros, Willie Snead is number 72 overall. Manny Sanders, according to Fantasy Pros,
probably in the 90s,
53.
Oh, wow!
20 spots ahead of him.
His ADP is all over the place. Manny Sanders. That's interesting.
20 spots different between Willie Snead here and Emmanuel Sanders. Do you have the NFFC one up? Is that what you're getting up here, Matt?
Well, I can tell you right now, this one here. Give me a second. I was going to look at something else, but I'll pop that right up right now. Wide receivers. I got to think Sanders is going. Willie Snead is the 29th off the board. Sanders, where the hell is Sanders?
Sanders will be found probably when we come back from the break. We're going to come back. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk more auction stuff with you. We'll talk more ranking stuff with you. And we'll have some fun here. Go over some of the MLB updates from yesterday as well. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Back here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. We are inching our way forward. Is Mike lying?
Oh.
Coming up
that's right.
in a bit. Very excited for the opportunity here. There's two champions in the room. And Corey Parsons.
I've won this thing before.
Yes, but not. I'm a defending champion, and Matt is a defending champion.
This is true, too. But you know me.
Same
talking,
old G.
Talking ish and winning chips.
That's you should put that on a shirt. Rotoware.com. Rotoware.com.
Eyes of Fantasy Executive. That one is about to drop.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I pre-sale? Can I get pre-sale?
We're going to get it done. We got big plans for that in the month of August. I'm getting into everything, Greg.
I feel like nobody tells me.
I know I got you covered. I'm a hustler, Greg.
I know you are.
I'm trying to take it all. You know what I'm saying? I want everything.
As you should. I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. Hey, more auction talk before we get to some of the baseball headlines. Yeah, of course, is Mike lying? My question, Corey, for you. Do you sacrifice the potential to get a sleeper in an auction draft in order to go after a top guy. Here's what I mean. You want to make sure you get a sleeper, right? Like, there is some sleeper out there that you really, really want, be it Kareem Hunt,
yeah,
be it Sam Perine, Jamal Williams, all the top quote-unquote sleeper running backs. But the top of the market,
yep,
is going for a little heavier than you expected.
Okay.
Do you sacrifice the potential that kind of stash that money away a little bit later to go out and get a top guy?
It really depends on when they come out on the board. Like, I'm trying to get what you're talking about. So say I'm on Kareem Hunt, right?
You want Kareem Hunt, right?
See, it's like, for me, it would be more like this. I'm on Kareem Hunt, right? Obviously, so bet I can get me a $12, $13, maybe cheaper than that, Kareem Hunt, right?
Right, yep.
So let's, because, you know, his value is going to jump,
sure,
right? So Hunt's going in that range. But I'm on the clock. I'm watching the clock, you know, going through how the auction is playing out and stuff like that. And let's say I jump out early and I buy a $50 left bell. I bet. Got me a $50 left bell. I come back, get Hunt a little bit later on in that team.
Right.
That you know, in that 9 to 13 range, right? But I'm watching the bidding going on and I notice, say, a Marshawn Lynch,
mm-hmm,
hops out and he stops at 11.
Right.
I'm buying Lynch. You can have Hunt. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
If I can get to a player I value better at a lower price, I'm going to jump on them and forget about the sleeper. You know what I'm saying?
You're not. That really was my question. That you're not willing to go all out for the sleeper if the better player presents itself.
If the better player presents itself at a depreciated price, I'm going to jump on the better player.
Well, Corey makes a great point, because there are going to be guys that are going to go for less than you expect.
Of course.
And like Corey stated, and pretty much is what you should be doing anytime you do an auction, prior to that auction, write down your team. Have a couple of different players in that price range, too. If you don't get your... Don't be tied that I have to get this guy at a set price. So if you have three guys in that tier, you know, maybe you end up with the cheaper guy, and you get that guy earlier than expected. Like, say you wanted Danny Woodhead, but you got Tevin Coleman for cheaper.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
And Tevin Coleman came up first. He stopped at a price that was a couple dollars below what you had him valued at, and you got him. So that's an... Look, sleepers are great, and everybody wants to have sleepers. You can't get crazy about sleepers.
They call sleepers for a reason.
People want to be like,
that's the thing.
Oh, I nailed them.
Correct.
I nailed them. You know, I want to have good players that I know that are already established, and I want to sprinkle a sleeper or two in there.
That, I mean, and that is the 1,000% right point, is that you can get all the sleepers you want. You can get Kareem Hunt and Jamal Williams and Sam Perine. But if you're not getting one of these better running backs, you're effing yourself.
Yeah, and Corey makes a great comparison here. Like, if you get Lev Bell and you pair him with a Kareem Hunt, that makes you stand so much better.
You mean you could spend $60 on your backs right there, you know, if you work it out that way, and then you can spend $100 on your receivers. You feel what I'm saying?
We said it before with prices.
I might do that. I might.
Well, I think the Bell and Johnson are going to be like high 50s to 60s.
I think it'll be
perhaps, yeah, I don't think you're getting Bell for $50.
You're not getting Lev Bell for $50.
That's just...
What did he go for?
57, I bought him.
57?
Him and David Johnson both went for 57.
Man, I mean, in auctions I've seen, they're going for low 60s.
And come September, if you're like in a high, he's going to, one of them's going to hit 60. I think Johnson's going to hit 60.
I agree.
I saw it with receivers a couple of years ago where you had to pay 57 for it, 57, 58 for Antonio.
I'm not paying no more than $55 for any player.
Okay. So my number usually is, I don't want to play 60 for any player. That's what I do.
Mm-mm. $60 for one player is too much.
That's why I pay 59. Just remember, and you pointed this out, Corey.
I deserve the thing.
You pointed this out, is that when you pay for a sleeper, when you pay for a guy, or really overpay for a guy like Sam Perine, like Kareem Hunt, you lose their sleeper appeal.
Yes,
you
it's not
need them to come through.
Need to be a sleeper.
If they don't, you crush your team by spending those $15 in Kareem Hunt rather than those $15 in, say, Ty Montgomery. I mean, that's how it works. So as you're trying to get a sleeper, just remember, if you overpay, they're not a sleeper anymore.
Yeah, I'm much more aggressive with quarterbacks in drafts than I am in an auction.
Why is that?
I agree with that.
It just seems like the money, they wind up going, except for like the Aaron Rodgers, yeah, Tom Brady's. If you let those guys pass and like Brees,
you can get Stafford for $3.
Yeah, you're gonna just get guys for pretty much really for very good bargains. Put it that way.
Like I said, I completely agree with that. We've seen that in my drafts, in my auction drafts in recent years, in that someone drafts Aaron Rodgers, and he goes in the high 20s or the low 30s, and then all of a sudden someone drafts Matt Ryan, and he goes for $3. And it's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers is not $22 better than Matt Ryan.
No, and we've seen this time and time again, and I'm using these numbers for real. I remember the room sitting here is like, why are we letting this happen? It's just like, well, nobody wants to bid more on a quarterback. I mean, that's what it is. So that's what it has to do with quarterbacks. My final auction question for you is, Corey, how do you figure out when the right time to nominate a sleeper is? Use Kareem Hunt, Sam Pierre, and Jamal Williams. When should you nominate them?
I really don't think there's no rhyme or reason to that. I really couldn't determine when is the right time to nominate your guy, you know. I don't know. It depends on your bankroll, what the money's looking like, what the money on the table is. I'm going to try to get some money off the table before I bring out one of my sleepers. If I'm calling them out, I want some money off the table. Like, if I'm in an auction, the first person that I'm nominating every single time, Rob Gronkowski.
Well, I know that's your strategy, but as I wrote in the book, great, Rob Gronkowski, you'll nominate him. But just so you know and you realize, only one guy in that room is spending the $30, let's say, on Rob Gronkowski.
Get it off the table.
But that's one guy. The other 10 of you, 10 plus you,
yeah,
no one else is. I'd rather use my nomination in a different direction.
Why?
Because I'm hurting one person in that Rob Gronkowski bid, right? Mm-hmm. To me, and I've said this before, I believe the deals can be had with the right player at the right time, especially early on in the draft, because mm-hmm. people are hesitant to spend their money and they also see there's so many other guys on the board that, like, instead of using a pick on Rob Gronkowski and letting some other guys go, let me nominate Davante Adams when all these other wide receivers on the board, and I'll go get him for $24.
Okay? I definitely like that philosophy. And even if, like, say you like Kareem Hunt, and he's one of your first nominations, people are like, you know what, I'm not going to pay that price. I want to kind of save my money, see who comes out next, maybe the big receiver, or maybe, you know, I'm kind of with you there. I understand Corey's reasoning, too. I think Gronk is a perfect guy to throw out, because there is a couple guys in that room that are always going to chase Gronk and want him on their team. So, like you said, there is no perfect way to do it, but I do think you find some really good bargains early on.
Because it's also true, it doesn't matter when Robert Kowski's nominated. Someone's going to spend the money then anyway. So why do I need to waste my nomination on it? Someone's going to do it. You're not going to bid. So it'll happen. I want to use my nomination differently. And I also wrote in the book, like, the kickers in the defense. And we've talked about this on this show before. You're the guy that will go spend a couple extra bucks in the defense. You're the guy that will go spend a couple bucks on Justin Tucker.
I'm when you throw him out there for a dollar, I'm taking him for two.
And that's what I do.
Yep.
But I don't, I'm with the philosophy, good, you wasted an extra dollar.
I don't care, but I'm not going to let you get him for a dollar.
Yeah,
that's
no,
my thing.
I mean, like, Justin Tucker's a prime example. Sure. I threw him out in this auction for $2. Okay. I figured somebody was going to go three.
Nobody went three.
Four.
Wow, they went all the way to four, yeah.
I will say, I do think Tucker does crazy. Give you an advantage in the fact that he's probably the best kicker in the league.
Let me ask you this, Matt.
Does nail it from his percentage rate from 50 yards on. And you get more points for that.
But let me ask you this with Justin Tucker. What happens when he's on a bye? Do you play? You pick up two kickers now? Like that
you don't
no
buy
one wants
two kickers.
Kick
you don't buy two kickers.
No. When Justin Tucker has a bye.
Oh, you don't cut him?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
That's
cut
brutal.
It's crazy,
but,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy, but somebody that they use so much as part of their offense, and it just consistently hits over 50. That's 5+ points.
Here's the thing with kickers. I don't have no kicker strategy, but I get one that has the last bye.
Yes.
So you can ride him all the way until week 11 to week 12.
I like that strategy.
That's great. Me and Andy.
Yeah, that's a great strategy.
Me and Andy have been doing that in our online championship.
Okay.
I mean, Andy's an Eagle fan and stuff, but we've been getting Caleb Sturgis. Like, he's got a bye week 11.
I think
11.
It's week 11 bye. He's excellent.
So, that's definitely, I think that's great advice what Corey's preaching there. Because you don't want to have to make that decision in
exactly.
week 4.
Exactly. Yeah. Why in week
You're
4?
Like, you got guys you want to hold.
Still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's actually, I never even considered that strategy.
You can edit real quick. We're not joking.
No, I mean, I probably, So the book's already being published. So what are you going to do? Yeah, all right. So there you go. That's my new strategy. So hopefully those in my auction aren't listening. Quickly, we've got about 30 seconds left before we get to start. Is Mike Lyon. Lucas Duda, Matt, was traded yesterday. Lucas Duda, the Mets first baseman, headed to Tampa.
I wish him nothing but the best. You know, the back injuries. He never fulfilled the promise I thought he could be. But I wish him the best in Tampa. Look, the Rays are having a phenomenal season.
By the way, you sat there, and we're going over-unders. Who was the guy that wanted the over on Tampa?
There he is.
Thank you.
Sussmania. 20% off.
Thank you. 20% off. .com. Use it. Sussmania. I also found it funny, by the way, that Jaime Garcia is back on the trade market days after being traded. It's crazy. When we come back, Modica, Parson, Sussman, is Mike Lyon next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's that time of the morning. I want to play as Mike Lyon because I have a championship to win. Defend,
it's on. You've been upped your game, Sussman.
I
must admit, you have.
I have studied up.
You know, Scott's here for the entertainment value. You know, fantasy exec comes in and out depending on how he's feeling.
You familiar with Calvin Harris, Greg?
Yes, I know Calvin Harris, yes.
Okay.
Why?
I was just asking you, this very popular song. I have been one of the biggest Don Byrne supporters that there is at this company.
Yes.
I just want him. I never got Don Byrne in trouble. That's
if
not my style.
If only you could hear what was going on.
I had to talk to Don Byrne. I've been a champion to Don Byrne.
No longer.
This is what happens.
What was the Calvin Harris?
Is that popular song?
Feels?
Slide.
Feels is the other one, right?
Yeah.
Slide on all your lines.
You guys are speaking Greek to me right now.
Sorry. All right. Don Byrne. It's Mike Florio on the line.
I like it, Don Byrne.
Mike Florio. Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Mike? What did I do to Don Byrne?
1984.
I don't know, man. He doesn't like you anymore.
That's all good. I've had a couple women say the same.
All right, Matt, you were defending champion the last 2 weeks when I was gone. Before I left, I won. Corey, you're happy to be here. But because Matt is a defending champion,
yeah.
Because I am a defending champion,
I'll let Corey pick.
I want Corey to pick where you want to go.
I'm going last.
You're going last, which means I'm going first. Is that right?
Yeah, because it goes this way.
So I'm going first, which is frustrating.
You had to do a better job of keeping score than I did last week.
Oh, that was great. That was a sight to be seen, you know.
Okay. Mike Florio, Don Burns at the music. Let's play. Is Mike Lyon?
Besides Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill led all rookies last year in receiving yards.
Besides Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill led all rookie wide receivers in receiving yards. That is false.
I'm going to go with false as well.
I'm going to say that's true.
No Scotty today?
No Scotty.
Scotty is not here. Thanks for listening to the program.
Well, this is false. In fact, four rookie wide receivers had more yards, not including Michael Thomas.
All right, I'll go with Sterling Shepard.
That is correct.
That was the one I knew.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one.
I knew Sterling Shepard, too.
Rookie, you should have
went first.
Yeah, you should have went first. Yeah. Rookie wide receivers. I'm trying to think who the hell was a rookie wide receiver last year. Oh, no, he's not a rookie wide receiver.
I got to pass it.
He passes.
Total blank.
CP.
Malcolm Mitchell.
No.
Oh. It is not Malcolm Mitchell. All right. For me, is that right? That'd be crazy. All right. I have to answer for my second time around. One guy comes to mind, but I don't think it's right, but I got... Whatever. Corey Coleman?
Mm-mm. No.
I guess that's a pretty good question.
Yeah, this is a good question.
Young man.
Modica?
Apparently, I got Don Burke in trouble.
I'm trying to think of who the hell was that. Sammy Coates? I have no idea.
No, hell no, not Sammy Coates.
Corey, need an answer, please?
No, not Sammy Coates.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you passed it.
Yeah, it's too late now. Second year wide receiver. Let me think. This is a good one because now I'm drawing a blank on all the second year wide receivers.
All did.
No, Taylor Gabriel wasn't a rookie last year.
I went through that one, too. It's hard.
Yeah, this
I was thinking Tyrell
Williams.
I'm
totally,
Williams.
Like, my brain is like... No guess?
I don't have no guess.
All right, what was the answer, by Florio?
Will Fuller, Tyler Boyd, and Eli Rogers.
I thought Tyler Boyd was just...
Corey Coleman guess wasn't that bad then.
You mean Tyreek Hill didn't have more receiving yards than those
guys?
No,
that's why I think it's crazy.
Very interesting, by the way. Very interesting. All right, 2 for me, 1 for Matt, 0 for Corey. Matt Wodnika's up next.
Of wide receivers with at least 50 targets, Kayvon Austin averaged the least yards per target.
I'm going to go true.
I'm going to go false.
I'll say false.
Point for Matty Mo.
True! Tavon Austin, poor guy. Go Tavon, you're my man.
I knew he was god-awful last year.
He's going to lead the league in receptions.
He's CBFF.
He can catch 120 passes this year, according to Eric
Matt,
Young.
2 for Greg. Question number 3 for CP.
Comeback player of the year.
Of running backs with at least 50 carries, Mike Gillisley led them all in yards per carry.
It's Corey's.
Running backs with at least 50 carries, Mike Gillisley and yards per pop. I'm going to say that's true.
True.
Yeah, he was over 5, so I'm going to go true as well.
Oh, it might not. This is going to be tough. Two names just popped in my head.
There's 2 players that average more.
Oh! All right, we all did not get the point. Corey, you get first guess.
Ty Montgomery.
That is correct.
Hey, okay.
Nice, Corey.
Nice job, Corey. Yards per carry. Now I have 2 names above my head too. I will say Tevin Coleman.
Good one.
No.
Oh, that's who I was going to say.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
More than 5.2. Jacquizz Rodgers.
No.
Corey?
Right back in it.
CJ Procise. He didn't have at least 50 carries. Let me take that back. Can I take that back?
Greg?
That's not Greg. I mean, you're the judge. I'm playing the game. I can't make that decision.
James White.
It is not James White.
Okay.
Fine. All right. LeSean McCoy.
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
Oh, wait, it's a...
Who'd you say? I'm sorry.
LeSean McCoy?
No.
Okay. I knew I thought he had over 5 yards of carry. I don't know.
Is that everyone's guess?
No, we're waiting for Matt.
Yeah, I have Matt. Sure.
We're waiting for Matt. It's better when you're here, Florio, so you don't have to ask these questions.
Then JJ?
No, it is Jalen Richard, Greg, you should have known that. We discussed him on BFF.
Oh, we did, in fact, discuss it on BFF. You're correct. Two for me. Two for Matt. One for Corey Parson. Question number four, please.
According to Uber Facts, of people in the U.S., people from New York are most likely to curse.
True.
True.
Y'all want to go true here.
I'm about to curse Don Burns out in a minute.
Is it true?
Yeah, true.
This is false.
Ooh.
Jersey.
I guess first. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
I guess first. Thank you very much. I will say Pennsylvania.
Oh, they got Philadelphia. Yeah.
That was the end.
No.
Damn it.
I'll say Jersey.
No.
Oh, good. I about to say he stole my answer and then got it. The most cussing is people. What's a reason to, if it's, I'm gonna say Texas because it's so damn hot, and you come outside and you be like, shit, it's hot.
No.
Oh,
I will say I'm between two, but I will say Massachusetts.
Nope.
Matt?
Florida.
Good one.
Nope, a lot of old New Yorkers, but no.
Corey?
California.
That's my other guess.
Nope, it apparently is Ohio.
Oh, Ohio. Oh, question number five, please.
Tavon Austin led all wide receivers in rushing yards.
It's you.
I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, Tavon Austin led all wide receivers in rushing yards.
False.
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 It is false. He was second.
Matt?
Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was so easy. That was such an easy. After asking a Tyreek Hill question, are you kidding me, Florio? four for Matt, three for Greg.
I wouldn't have guessed Tyreek Hill.
Oh, I would have. It's easy. Yeah. Question number six. I'd have got it wrong.
Since 2000, no running back has more receiving yards in their first two seasons than David Johnson.
Since 2000, Corey.
In their first two seasons. That's critical right here. Because if it was three seasons, it would be Devontae Freeman. But being that it's two seasons, I'm going to say that's true, David Johnson.
I will also say true.
Count me in for true.
Son of a gun. He didn't play
it
that much.
It is true.
Good. Okay.
And second was Le'Veon Bell.
There you go. There you go. The 1 and 2 picks in the fantasy draft this year. All right. So Matt's got 5. I've got 4. Corey's got 3. Maybe it's 6-5-4.
How many I got?
It's one. You're 1 point behind me. 2 points behind Matt. We head to question.
It number, is 5-4-3.
5-4-3. Question number 7. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Five, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Football, the topic du jour, which means we now need to wrap up. Easy Mike Lyon, Matt Modica, you have a 1 point advantage over myself, 2 points over Corey. Question number 7, Mike Florio, you're on the phone, hit the music, let's do it.
Who's up?
Me.
Not including Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson, Duke Johnson led all running backs in receiving yards last year.
Your boy, Duke Johnson, led all running backs in receiving yards last year. That is false.
I'm going to go false as well.
False.
It is false. One running back had more.
You think you know it, huh?
I think I do.
All right, one running back had more wide more receiving yards than Duke Johnson, and that running back is Ty Montgomery.
Nope.
Okay.
Two plays. Guy I love, I don't think he played enough games. I'm going to go James White.
Big point for Matty Mo. Oh,
nice one. I knew it was
nice
James.
One.
I knew it was James White, but I was hoping you was going to say Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, Freeman or like Theo Rick didn't play enough games. I knew that.
Nice job. That's a big point for Matt, who now is up 7-5-4.
So I was ready to jump on that
7-5. I guess I was way behind that one. All right, question number 8, please.
According to UberFacts, people who use emojis while texting tend to have more sex than those who don't.
True.
Yeah, I'm going true. I'm going true.
If I just judge by Jake Seeley, it'd be false. I will say true.
That was uncalled for. That was uncalled for.
He uses a lot of emojis.
It's true.
He uses a lot of emojis.
8-6-5.
Corey Parson, question of Ryan. You're up 2 on us.
Okay, I thought I was up more.
A running back with at least 20 targets, Jonathan Stewart had the lowest yards per target.
True.
False.
I'm going to go true.
It's true. He averages 2.86 yards per target.
9-6-6 is the score. Matt Modica running away with it. The final question, Mike Florio.
Of quarterbacks with at least 100 passing attempts, Tom Brady led all in yards per pass attempt.
False, I hope.
I'll say true.
True.
It's false. One player had more.
This is not enough, Mike Florio. I needed 2 to have more. Damn. I'll say Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
Matt Ryan.
And he seals it.
There you go. Your winner and the undisputed is Mike Lyon, champion. 3 weeks in a row now, gentlemen. It's Matt Modica. Congratulations, Matt.
That was, I expected better from you, Greg.
I know you did.
Next, you had the week off. You're in Europe, so I'm going to give you a pass. I'm going to give you a
what?
Pass.
You know what? It all went downhill. The Tyreek Hill follow-up. That was BS. It was so obvious. It was Tyreek Hill.
It just happened to be the luck of the draw.
Happened to be the luck of the draw, indeed. Yeah. CP, what's coming up next with the Frenzy?
Coming up on the Frenzy, we'll go through a lot of these news and notes that we got coming in from training camp. Also, got some ADP trends. Want to discuss some players moving up and down the board. Want to dig a little bit deeper into the Roto Experts mock draft. And we want to talk about that I still want to keep the conversation going on this bell cow running backs, you know what I mean? So we get the all-in kid, we get Matt Modica, and then we get to talking trash, and of course we want to hear from you.
Absolutely. Hear from you, 844-843-6879. I want to thank Mike Florio for joining us. For Matt Modica and Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic weekend. Remember to use the promo code SUSMANIA at rotoexperts.com/discount, and we will see you back here on Monday morning. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.